Hi, it's Lisa Marley from the Off the Leash podcast team here, on your feed to introduce a series of shortcasts focused around the Emily Williamson Festival. In this shortcast, Chloe from Climate Emergency Manchester tells us about how Emily's legacy continues and the work the group does locally to tackle the climate crisis. She discusses how many different skills can be valuable in campaigning and activism, and talks about the group's Active Citizenship Toolkit, which breaks down how to engage with these issues and how we can all contribute in an impactful way.
Hello, I'm Chloe from Climate Emergency Manchester, or CEM. CEM is a voluntary, non-partisan group connecting concerned citizens to take more urgent local action. And our focus is Manchester, the home of Emily Williamson. So I wanted to use this shortcast, my first shortcast, leading up to the festival, to tell you a bit about us as a group, but also show how many years after Emily, there is still a rich ecosystem of groups in Manchester, all trying different things, all using different tools and skills to make a difference. In CEM, we have a particular focus on local authorities and Manchester City Council, trying to hold them to account on their promises and push them that bit further. This focus is slightly unusual. There are other groups around the country, but it certainly is different from those who are trying to lobby national government, put pressure on companies, or even taking that oh-so-important action in their own neighbourhoods. So to begin with, I want to talk a bit about what councils can do about climate change. And the spoiler is quite a lot. So when you first hear the word council, what do you think of? Maybe bins, potholes, recycling, council tax, elections maybe if it's around spring or May. More positively, maybe sports centres, parks, libraries. Or if in the height of lockdown, you saw the goings-on of Handsworth Parish Council, maybe Jackie Weaver and fighting. But actually, you should also think of climate change, because local authorities can do a huge amount to tackle climate change. Around housing, for example, council houses can be retrofitted and new ones built to be energy efficient. Councils own other buildings across their cities and their towns, art galleries, sports centres, libraries, usually quite a few offices too. There's responsibilities for transport, which could be road building, car parks, pedestrian areas, cycle routes. They certainly have responsibility for some green spaces and land and should be involved in tree planting. Perhaps less obviously, councils also have a role to play in procurement, what gets bought, which could include school canteens, for example. And finally, a particular issue in Manchester, planning decisions, so what gets built where. But beyond all this, councils also have a leadership role to play. Things that are related not just to their own direct emissions, but they have all kinds of policy levers and are really well placed to build coalitions across the city. But none of this is happening at the right pace. Councils need public pressure. Acting on climate change is not a legal obligation for councils. In fact, only adult social care is the standing commitment they have to make. In 2019 to 20, many local authorities around the UK declared a climate emergency. And that was the reason that Climate Emergency Manchester first founded. Initially, it was to try and get Manchester City Council to declare a climate emergency. Now, that happened much faster than we thought, in part due to our own pressure, but also to do with external events, such as the fact that the other core cities had declared a climate emergency, and also events in London around XR, Greta, etc. So Manchester declared a climate emergency in 2019. In July, it was a lovely warm summer day. I was there and there was a real height of euphoria. But we knew that the real work would begin after that and that the job would be to make councils stick to their promises and go even further and even faster. As well as specific campaigns and policies that we are trying to push for, Climate Emergency Manchester has a real focus on skills. And we've set up something called the Active Citizenship Toolkit, which is trying to break down all the different elements and ways of being a campaigner and an activist. There are many different skills, and actually, we don't think that one group necessarily needs to deploy them all at the same time. And if anything, it's helpful for a city, certainly a city as large as Manchester, to have different types of groups and organisations who are trying different things. There's not just one way of doing things. But I'm going to talk you through a couple of sort of skills and a couple of tactics that we've tried over the past few years and explain a bit more about what we learned from doing them. One practical tool that Climate Emergency Manchester is really trying to upskill and educate others on is the importance of lobbying your council. Every resident can do this. So in Manchester, every resident lives in a ward. There are 32 in Manchester. And every ward has three councillors who are elected to serve you and your interests, as well as those of other constituents. Councillors receive an allowance, but also have other jobs. They run regular surgeries and can be contacted by email. They will usually agree to a chat. They also do casework, and they're not usually experts on a specific issue. Now, one thing that we've tried to do is slightly demystify the idea of lobbying. It has quite a sinister aura around it, often associated with corridors in Westminster. But we've tried to set up some simple do's and don'ts for lobbying councillors, for residents and supporters, many of whom have tried contacting their councillor for the first time. So a few of our do's are research the issue that you want to ask about. Really know your stuff. Research the councillor and where they stand on the issue now. Maybe how long they've been a councillor. This is now easier to do now that many councillors have Twitter accounts. You can see what else they're interested in, what else they've supported. If you do have a discussion, be that online, phone, or maybe even now again, face-to-face meeting with your councillors, have some clear asks that they might say yes to. And think of it in terms of a relationship. It's unlikely that you're going to get everything you want from one-off conversation, but you might want to kind of go back and have a bit of a dialogue. We encourage people to prepare an outline of opening statement or questions they'd like to ask. We also encourage other people to do it in groups, maybe go together, a buddy, makes it seem less daunting. One of you stumbles over your lines, the other one can chuck in, and just makes the experience a little bit more fun and, you know, go for a coffee afterwards, talk about how it was. A little bit of prep about what they might say back to you and what you try to say in response is helpful. And finally, we always try and get people to say something specific in their power for the councillor. So not something that is necessarily the role of national government, but something that they might be able to act upon. As well as the do's for lobbying your councillor, there's also some don'ts. So don't expect them to make firm promises. It might be difficult for them to commit to something without running it past others. Don't expect them to publicly go against the leadership of their party. Don't start the conversation from a defensive position. Your councillor might not have seen your side of the conversation. For us at Climate Emergency Manchester, lobbying councillors really came into its own during the local elections of May last year. So we asked all candidates to sign up to three pledges, three simple commitments around climate. We asked council officers to mention the progress against the city's budget every time they made a claim about the city being zero carbon by 2038. We asked all the scrutiny committees to consider climate regularly. So this is getting at the fact that climate shouldn't just be put in a box and discussed by the environmental committee, but shows it connects with health, education, young people. And finally, we asked for a standing item at the meeting of the executive. We did this through lobbying and through really engaging a network of people across the city. This didn't necessarily influence the outcome of the election, but it meant that we had a calling card and pledges that those in power had signed up to when they took office in May. Another practical tool that Climate Emergency Manchester uses a lot are Freedom of Information Act requests. Now, a little bit of background to the Freedom of Information Act. It was introduced in 2005. The Freedom of Information Act allows all members of the public to request information held by public bodies. So that includes national government, councils, police, NHS, state-funded schools, BBC, the army, regulatory bodies of charities. I could go on. In most cases, if the body holds this information, they must respond and release it in 28 days. Now, we have used this to get information from local authorities about what they're doing about climate, information that otherwise wouldn't be released. And we train up others to do this so that they can make their campaigns better armed with data and information. There are, again, some do's and don'ts about making a Freedom of Information Act request. It needs to be really specific because you don't want to be ruled out for cost and time reasons. And you also don't want to carpet bomb or have to go back for more. You need to make sure that the request is about information that's held, not opinions. So the clue is in the name, the Freedom of Information Act request. There's a few practical things, like you need to include your name and obviously keep it polite and not about yourself. Don't make comments. And just to make sure the request doesn't get delayed, avoid acronyms and ambiguous returns. We've put information about this online, but there's also a great website called What Do They Know, which gives you resources about how to make and browse Freedom of Information Act requests, and also lists Freedom of Information Act requests that have been put there by others. CEM has used Freedom of Information Act requests as a method for getting out data to produce our own reports on the Council's action on climate. The Council does do its own reporting. It's often unsatisfactory. And so since the Declaration of Climate Emergency Manchester, we've producing quarterly reports that we call Hung, Drawn and Quarterly, which have used a traffic light system to show which actions are on track, which are behind, which are very behind. And we found that many of the kind of simple promises that are in the emergency declaration have not been kept to. For example, the promise that there would be wards, so neighbourhood level meetings by a certain date was delayed. And also the idea that all councillors would be carbon literate by a certain date. Now, it's not that these things are alone going to solve climate change, but they are small symbolic things. And if you can't get those things right, it does raise questions about the bigger picture. The final practical tool that I want to discuss is, well, maybe it's a little bit broader, maybe a little less practical, maybe spirit. We at Climate Emergency Manchester think there is a really important role for humour. This is particularly true at the moment when COP and there is so much going on around climate. There's a need for satire and parody and material that really cuts through. The most recent example of this is Manchester City Council released a video explaining what it was doing around climate change. We felt it was misleading, so we made our own, overdubbing in a kind of DIY spirit the council's videos and adding our own subtitles. It was actually viewed more times than the council's own video. And we think that's because it offered something refreshing, sort of parodied and cut through in a way that was refreshing and helped others see the woods from the trees. None of us are professional filmmakers or have particular backgrounds in media production in this way, but we learnt on the job, finding free software, sharing tips with each other, and importantly, immediately after, we did an evaluation and we try and post as many of our evaluations online so that other groups can see that we're not necessarily experts. We're just trying things, trying to learn and always reflecting on our mistakes and the skills that we've learned to do something better next time.
Off the Leash podcast is proud to support the Emily Williamson Festival, celebrating female voices in conservation and Emily's legacy, which goes to show that one voice, anyone's voice, can make a difference. Join the murmuration at Manchester Art Gallery and be in the room where ideas take flight. Find out more and book tickets at emilywilliamsonstatue.com/festival. Thank you for listening. To hear more from Off the Leash podcasts, follow us on your favourite podcast streaming service. And if you're interested in creating a short cast of your own, please get in touch with us at OTL Podcasts on Twitter, OTL Pods on Instagram, or by using our website, offtheleashpodcasts.co.uk.